Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for September the 6th in the year of our Lord, 2023. This is hour one of two in the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, through so on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we stand for liberty. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We reject revolution, unless it's the Jesus revolution. We actually stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Yes, we've got a lot of problems, that's for sure, but there are equal amount, if not even more, solutions if we the people would just take heed and turn to God rather than government. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing fantastic. James Edwards with me. Race, politics, and hypocrisy in the 21st century America. He stands out as an author, as a talk show host, a whole lot more. ThePoliticalCesspool.org is his website. Check it out. Award-winning broadcast every Saturday night live or during the week at your on-demand convenience. ThePoliticalCesspool.org. His book, Racism, Schmacism, written over a decade ago, more true now than it was written, although it was as true as it got when it was written, it just keeps getting more and more evidential as time goes on. James Edwards, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Sam, we do this more and more, and it reminds me of the old saying, well, I'm going to butcher this, but what is it sometimes... I don't know what the old saying is. It takes lifetimes for a lifetime to happen, and then sometimes a lifetime happens in just a few years. It seems like we're in the latter part of that. It seems like a lot is happening, observably so, in real time, and a lot has happened even since last week when I was most recently on with you. It's just it's a great time to be alive.
Amen to that. It's going to continue to escalate. Now, I normally don't do half-baked stories on the radio. I normally do my due diligence, my research, I dig in, I look for multiple sources, I have conclusions, I have solutions, I have a complete understanding of the story before I roll with it. I make rare, and I repeat rare, exceptions to this. I'm going to do that now. Here's the headline that we came out with. We were literally first to the table, not counting a few other obscure sources. Southern Poverty Law Center, SPLC lawyer, Thomas Webb Jurgens was arrested in Atlanta and charged with domestic terrorism. Now, that was a headline we talked about in March, I think it was. And then in June, we talked about it some, et cetera, et cetera. We don't really know what happened to Thomas. It's kind of quiet on the home front. But there is a new headline from the New York Times that just came out. Over 60... Cop City is what they're calling it because, you know, they want you to believe the cops are just evil. So they call it Cop City. But they say over 60 Cop City protesters facing, quote, racketeering. I like that word. Charges. The New York Times writes that piece. Now, there's a big old long story about this in the New York Times. What they don't mention is this attorney and how you can mention this huge story and talk about, hey, they're up on racketeering and the case is moving forward. Prosecutions are happening, etc. They say they're not engaged in acts of protest. There's no harm done here. But the prosecution accused them of taking part in a sprawling criminal enterprise, ladies and gentlemen. More than 60 activists who challenged and attacked the Atlanta police and fire training complex have been indicted. Now, property destruction, intimidation, it just goes on and on and on. But what's strangely quiet about this is this Thomas Jurgens piece, this attorney for the Southern Poverty Law Center. Now, he got arrested with everybody else. He claimed, oh, I'm just here as an observer. Well, we're kind of getting a little glimpse that he might just be let off and not included. They might give him the benefit of the doubt in this situation. The Georgia Attorney General was pursuing the activists under the state's Racketeering, Influenced and Corrupt Organization Act, better known as RICO. a powerful tool that's been employed many, many times by prosecutors to target street gangs and public corruption. Now, of course, they want you to know that that was used against the Donald, too, says the New York Times. Well, anyway, I don't know what Donald has to do with this story at all, but it's interesting they bring up Donald and they don't bring up Thomas Juergens. Now, as far as I understand, I think that they're quiet. They tried to, I looked at other stories on this, and they say, oh, the Southern Poverty Law Center, you know, failed to return requests for comment, et cetera, et cetera. But back in the day, they said, hey, our guy's an observer. He's a special attorney. Somehow he's being left out of the discussions in this case now. Did he walk? Is he included? They're just not bringing up his name anymore. What gives? That's where the story's half-baked at this point. There's a lot of sources reporting on this update. There's very few details about Thomas himself. Do you have any more intel on this, James, or do we got to research this real time?
No, I can finish baking your cake, Sam. I have the rest of the story, and it is so serendipitous. I had no idea. This is the way Sam and I work. We've been together for so long, I just come on, and I never know what we're going to be talking about. We can always feed off each other, play off each other. We've both been in radio for either two decades, if you're the young pup, in my case, or nearly three, if you're Sam. So we don't do much prep. We just get on here. But we always seem to be playing off the same sheet of music.
Between the two of us, 50 years, a half a century in radio, people.
Well, it's only getting better. It's only getting better and more impactful and more potent. But yes, as a matter of fact, Sam, having no idea we would be talking about this today, and as you mentioned, we were sort of first to the poll on this. Liberty News Radio, I had put out a tweet about a month before I was banned from Twitter, and you got to wonder if one thing didn't have to do with the other, making mention of the fact that this guy...
By the way, the tweets on this, James, got what, over a million views on one of them?
A million. And a lot of the so-called establishment conservative news organizations were citing my tweet. Now, whether they gave me credit or not for it, they were contacting me behind the scenes saying, hey, how did you get this information? And then I told them how I got it. It was from a local source in the Atlanta Network affiliate news structure. And then he had deleted it, but I'd had a screenshot. So I said, yes, it's all verified. It has been, you know, obviously, what do they call it? A reliable source. You got to be unreliable to be reliable in a lot of these cases.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah, we've been reliable except for when we're reliable. There, now.
A lot of news was made out of that, and we had a real. It was a platinum tweet, I guess, a million views. Ton of recognition on that for us. So sort of being, and I got it from another friend of mine who just keeps his ear to the ground on this sort of stuff, monitoring the Antifa chatter and different outlets where they communicate to one another. Anyway, yes, so his name is Thomas Webb Juergens, and he was one of the ones that was originally arrested and charged with domestic terrorism for this assault on this police training facility. You asked, hey, the New York Times is covering this. A lot of other people are covering it now, but I'm not seeing his name mentioned. Did he skate? What's the rest of the story? Is it half-baked? It is not. I've got the rest of the story for you, and I found out just last night, just literally hours ago, not knowing we'd be talking about it today, he has been officially indicted. He is included in the official indictment that was filed just on August the 29th. Just on August the 29th. His name is included in those 61 that have been officially now indicted and will face trial. I have two stories.
Just a little bit more before you get to the two stories. I did find that the Southern Poverty Law Center tried to get him out of it.
Yes,
they
did.
Said no.
Well, what happened, what I read, and it was two local news stories in Atlanta, all right? So it was two local news stories, and I don't even know. I mean, it was sort of like alternative media even for the local market, by what I can gather. But they did have the official screenshot of the indictment that included his name and all of the other co-defendants. And what I had read in this article was that the local, yes, the SPLC was trying to back channel and work it out, quote unquote. They had gone to the local district attorney. Now, metropolitan Atlanta, Georgia is made up of several different counties. You've got Fulton County, which is where Trump was indicted a few days ago and had the mugshot taken. That's part of Atlanta. Also, DeKalb County, D-E-K-A-L-B, DeKalb County is a part of Atlanta as well. And that's where this guy for the SPLC and these other folks were arrested. And the local district attorney in DeKalb was in favor of letting this guy off. I think the SPLC had worked behind the scenes, and the local district attorney was going to let him off, or had intended or wanted him to be let off, but the state attorney general, Chris Carr, said, no, we're not going to do it. So the state attorney general sort of overruled, I guess you could say, the local district attorney who would have let him off, but now he is officially included. He did not skate, and whether or not he'll be found guilty or not, I mean, let the, you know, let the truth be told, let the facts come to light, and whatever's right, let it be done. But the SPLC was not able to maneuver him off. And I think that is pleasantly surprising. I fully expected that they would, you know, as criminally corrupt as the judicial system is, as we see now here with Trump especially, and in many other cases as well, you know, these Proud Boys getting 20 years for milling around and talking with cops at the Capitol. And then, you know, if you're Black Lives Matter, an Antifa arsonist or looter, you're getting paid now to go out and commit crimes. I mean, this is a really just sick situation we've got here. So I did expect him to get off, but he didn't.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how to respond to this. I don't know if he will get off, meaning if somehow there'll be a separation here when push comes to shove. But they say 61 indicted on racketeering charges. Yes, Thomas Juergens, a Southern Poverty Law Center staff attorney, among them. Oh, baby. And these guys tell you that I'm a bad guy, do they? I see. Let's talk about it, because you're listening to the one and only hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, Liberty Roundtable Live. Love starts slipping away.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing, and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Back with you live, Sam Bushman, James Edwards, breaking down the news the networks refuse to use like nobody's business on your radio. 61 indicted on racketeering charges in Georgia. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Thomas Webb Juergens, Southern Poverty Law Center staff attorney, is among them. They tried to get him off the hook, pretending he was an observer, but no, the judge said, uh-uh. No, hold on now. Wait a minute. You were at the place, the time, you were wearing the garb, you were doing all the things they were doing. What are you talking about? Southern Poverty Law Center now not making any comments. They're silent as can be. Here's what I find fascinating about this story before we have James continue on this thing. The New York Times literally brings this story up. Their headline, Southern Poverty Law Center, SPLC, lawyer Thomas Juergens was arrested for terrorism. That's my headline. Their headline, quote, over 60 Cop City protesters facing racketeering charges. They mentioned Donald Trump in the New York Times story, but they don't mention this Thomas Juergens attorney for the Southern Poverty Law Center. I find that interesting and curious indeed. Why are they talking about Cop City protesters and then arrested on racketeering and terrorism charges? They're not protesters, folks. That headline is bogus. But then they literally say this is the same law that was used on Donald and his supporters for January 6th. They're linking January 6th to this? This is where when we say, look, it's bad guys, right and left do things, not just right. It's where Donald Trump said, hey, there were bad guys at Charlottesville, too. And they mocked and laughed and jeered. And now they don't mention Thomas Juergens in this story, the Southern Poverty Law Center attorney. But yet they mentioned Donald Trump in the story. This just shows you how they wordsmith. What does Donald have to do with the story? Answer, nothing. Nothing whatsoever. What does Thomas Juergens have to do with the story? Everything. He got arrested, he got charged, and now he's been indicted. That's what he has to do with it. But they don't even mention his name, James. Isn't that curious indeed?
Well, it isn't. That's the problem. You and I were
well,
just talking
isn't
about this.
Because it's... you're right, but it is because I'm highlighting the oddity of it.
So sure.
The oddity that people don't realize is the curious part. The fact that that's what they're doing is not curious. It's just par for the course.
To honest people, it's certainly curious, but if you know how the media works and how the court systems work, frankly, it's not curious at all. Again, the only thing that matters now is what side you're on. If you're on the right side, you'll be given cover by the press and be championed by the press. If you're on the wrong side, you'll be obviously attacked by the press, as we have throughout our entire careers, and the same now for the courts as well, which is, again, why I was pleasantly surprised that this hadn't already been favorably resolved as far as the SPLC's interests are concerned. But yes, it appeared as though, according to the story again, the local story, the second, third tier rank reporting agency there in the Atlanta area, that the local DA wanted him off. The state AG said no. And so there you have it. Now, regardless, I mean, this is something that I think people can rightly point to. Hey, you've got this obviously corrupt. We've talked about the SPLC for years and years and years. I'm not going to relitigate all of that. I think everybody listening to this program knows what kind of organization they are and what kind of people they have had working for them over the years. So we know all of that. But let's just look at this. Now you can say, well, hey, in addition to all of that, as you said, Sam, they call us all of these bad people. I've certainly never caught a charge for domestic terrorism. But here's one other thing, though. The SPLC did respond. I think it may be in one of those two articles that I sent you during the break. They did offer a quick statement saying, oh, well, these charges are obviously bogus. Thomas Juergens is a local boy from Georgia, and he was wearing a green hat that, you know, shows he was a legal observer. Well, I mean, come on. So if I put on a green hat, that means I'm immune from being able to commit
crimes.
Darn
right, just buddy. Next time you go to Charlottesville, you got your green hat on, you just be all good. Not.
Well, yeah, I'm going to go knock over this liquor store, but I got a green hat on, so I'm not really knocking over. It just looks like I am. Now, look, here's the thing,
you're
though.
You're just you know, decrying the wrongs that have been done to you.
I will say this, too.
So, right?
I will say this, too. I don't know exactly whether or not he did or did not commit. Now, a lot of times, if you are in the company of people who are committing, you know, this is another thing.
Oh,
I don't
mean,
know if he actually had a Molotov cocktail. Well, yeah, that was a totally different thing. But, I mean, you know, obviously, if you're, like, in the middle
yeah,
of a horde who's committing.
At least those are our listeners who are caught up.
Oh, yeah.
I hope you get the irony.
Yes. But if you're in the middle of a group of people who are actively committing acts of arson and throwing bombs at police officers, Molotov cocktails, and you're not really telling them to stop and you're not calling the police, I mean, I don't know. I mean, can you say you're just an observer at that point, or are you an active participant?
No.
I think that's what the question is.
Now, if you're Hunter Biden,
well, that's
you probably could.
There you go. And we've seen cases where you've had, you know, Black Lives Matter, you know, caught red-handed, no doubt about it, and they have been excused and even paid for committing their crimes. So I don't know what's going to happen here. And with regards to Juergens, I will give them the the benefit of the doubt that they have never given us. I don't know if he actively committed a crime or if just being in that horde is enough to warrant his guilt, or if he actually did throw some of the bomb. I don't know. What I'm saying is let the facts come out. Let the facts come out in court. And
that's
if he's
right.
guilty, let him be found guilty.
And
if he's not guilty, let him be found not guilty.
And we say he is innocent.
But all, what I know for sure is.
Too.
But yeah, exactly, yeah. I still believe they don't believe in that for us. They're going to railroad us.
I know,
if they
but
can,
I do for them,
and they do. Well, but here's the thing: I don't know if he was guilty or not. If he is guilty, let him be found guilty. If he's not, let him be found not guilty. But what I do know for a fact that just because he wore a green hat doesn't mean anything to me. That doesn't mean anything to me. You can wear whatever piece of clothing that is supposed to indicate you're something other than what everybody else in your group is. But that doesn't necessarily make it so. So hopefully people will see through that and just get down to the nitty-gritty on this thing. But the fact that
I find fascinating in the debate on this, what, you know, when they tell both sides of the story in the articles that you sent me, the defendants here are basically saying, look, you know what? Destruction of private property is bad, and it's destruction of private property, but it isn't violence. And then the other guys say, well, free speech isn't violent. And the debate here is to minimize this and nuance this into, I know we were destroying property, but we didn't mean violence. I know some people got hurt, but it wasn't a violent intent, don't you see? So very interesting how this case is going down compared to January 6th. The other guys, like Stuart Rhodes, never even went into the Capitol, was not armed, was not violent in any way. Turns out that he was working with the feds because he asked for permission to work with the Secret Service. Secret Service denied the connection to Stuart Rhodes, finally got forced to admit it in court. But Stuart Rhodes is behind bars for 18 years, even though that exculpatory evidence was withheld. Now these guys are already saying, well, it wasn't really violent. I know people got hurt and bad, but it was only private property destruction is what we were after. It's like, what?
Well, but see, none of that. Look, okay, so the drunk man who gets behind the wheel, I didn't mean to kill the people. I didn't have that intention. So therefore, you know, you got to let me off. And that was another thing too, Sam. I have not really looked back at this thing since March when it was originally first in the news and we had played such a big, you know, role in that. And I hadn't gone back in the last several months. I mean, life's happening pretty fast. A lot going on out there. The ADL is really getting a comeuppance, too. We might get to that in a moment. But I haven't really gone back and revisited the facts of this case since the springtime. But if I recall correctly, I remember originally thinking, because it was a police training facility that was under construction, and they were going in there to attack the facility, but there were actually, if I am remembering correctly, there were actually some officers present on the scene that were sort of like dodging these projectiles and these incendiary devices.
Well,
I'm pretty sure of that.
As far as I understand, some of them were even harmed by those projectiles, as I remember it right.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know.
See, you got to understand, here's their nuance. They weren't intending to be violent. They were intending to destroy private property or destroy property. They weren't intending to be violent. Do you see the difference there, James?
Well, I mean, I'm telling you, the media and the courts can make whatever reality they want. I mean, they can't,
they
can certainly decide who gets public. It's just like we saw, you know, I was down in Alabama for a talk a couple of weeks ago. We went down to Selma. I mean, that whole thing, you had the sheriff of Selma at the time saying, hey, it was the protesters that were the ones stabbing cops with ice picks and knives and straight razors and hurling bricks and bottles. And more cops were injured on so-called Bloody Sunday than protesters. And the officers only reacted as a result of, you know, them being attacked. But of course, if you ask anybody about that now, if they know anything about it at all, oh no, it was just the cops that were attacking them for no good reason. They just wanted their rights. And I mean, so this is what I'm saying. I mean, the media and the courts, you know, can certainly do whatever they want to do, no matter what the facts are. That's the point.
Yeah,
but nevertheless,
they're losing. The more we tell the tale of truth, the more they lose. The more people realize we're telling the truth and they're not. I found another interesting nuance to this story that I want to highlight. I'm going to do it after the break, but I'll tease it really quick. 61 defendants, they say. The Southern Poverty Law Center guy, all up on racketeering charges. And yes, this Thomas Juergens guy, the Southern Poverty Law Center attorney, is being charged and indicted for racketeering and terrorism charges. But there's 61 defendants, and I got a unique detail that I want to kind of point out about this. It'll be an I told you so moment, okay? Liberty Roundtable live.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Tim Berg. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken is in Ukraine today on an unannounced visit to Kyiv. While on the ground, Blinken is expected to announce that another billion of your tax dollars will be used in funding for the war-torn nation. A State Department official saying that $1 billion will be going toward financial and humanitarian assistance. Both Republicans and Democrats are pushing back against a growing illegal immigration crisis. New Jersey Governor Phil Moore is rejecting a proposal to house thousands of illegal immigrants at the Atlantic City Airport, most of them from neighboring New York City, where Mayor Eric Adams says he can't handle all of them. New York Republican Congressman Nicole Maliotakis tells Fox News she believes the illegal immigrant crisis is intentional on the part of the Biden administration.
They're obviously doing this on purpose. They are trying to disrupt our society. They're trying to disrupt our nation. They're actually causing great havoc within communities.
A hearing is set for Wednesday in the Georgia 2020 presidential election interference case. Fulton County Superior Court Judge Scott McAfee has scheduled the hearing to decide on severing some defendants from the main case, saying in a court order that he intends to ask the state for a good faith estimate on the time frame needed to present its case at the joint trial of all 19 defendants. Every defendant in former President Trump's Georgia case is pleading not guilty, and they've all waived their right to an in-person arraignment. A heat wave is continuing on the East Coast this week. More than 50 million people were under heat alerts Tuesday from Minnesota to Texas to Massachusetts. A heat advisory remains in effect from Philadelphia up to Boston, where temperatures could reach close to 100. Thanks for listening. This is USA News.
All right, team. Apps on the table by 7:30 sharp.
Jalen and his catering company have a lot on their plate.
Really particular.
He needs a bigger team to continue climbing up the food chain.
Got this event. Hey, Mitch, was that a contract for 200 or 250 people?
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Our hiring platform instantly connects you with quality candidates, and you can schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from the Indeed dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. This is your dentist. Do me a favor and feel the front of your teeth. How grimy are they?
Ugh.
It's time for a Crest Pro Health reality checkup. That grime is the buildup of plaque bacteria that can cause cavities in just months. You need to switch to Crest Pro Health. While most toothpaste stop working in minutes, Crest Pro Health's antibacterial fluoride protects for up to 12 hours to stop cavities before they start. So pick some up on the way home. Smile. Crest has you covered.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, whenever an event occurs around the country, especially with Antifa and Black Lives Matter and all these thugs running around, anarchists going crazy and, you know, destroying property and harming people, violence and property destruction and all these things that they consider peaceful protest, it's psychotic. They're talking about peaceful protests in the mainstream press. There's literally smoke plumes from destruction going on behind them, this kind of stuff. Y'all seen it. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Well, anyway, we said, look, most of these people are paid provocateurs. Most of these people are from out of town. They got a freaking circus going on of these people just kind of appearing and setting up shop and, you know, destroying and violence and terrorism. And then they move on to the next city, and they said, oh, my gosh, you conspiracy nuts are crazy. There's no truth to that. Da-da-da-da. And we had that battle in the media about this. And the mainstream press would say, you guys are crazy conspiracy right-wing nuts. It isn't true. Oh, yeah? All right, well, here's the latest that came out in the filings related to this thing. Of the 61 defendants in this racketeering and terrorism case that the Southern Poverty Law Center, Thomas Juergens, is caught up in now. Yeah. Out of the 61 defendants who have been indicted, only 13 are from Georgia, James.
I saw that. That's something. Including
right, that's
the,
not even a
the
quarter,
SPLC guy.
Right?
Yeah, well, exactly. And so, and this is the thing. I mean, this new precedent that they set in Charlottesville, if you don't know anybody and you've never met them before and you've never talked to them and you have no idea what they were thinking or planning, you can still be part of the conspiracy. Well, how do these people from all over the country come together for something?
Well, listen, so 61 minus 13, 51, that's 10, 50, 48, right? 48 of them were not even from Georgia. Think about that. 48 of them, not even from Georgia. How did that happen without an organized conspiracy behind it, James? How can that possibly be? How do they know to be there on that date? How do they know to assemble? How do they know each other? How do they get wind of it all? How do they? Okay, this is insane. And so now we've been vindicated. 13 out of the 61 were not even from Georgia. And a Southern Poverty Law Center staff attorney is being charged and indicted and now being prosecuted on racketeering and terrorism charges. I mean, I don't even know how to respond to this, but boy, howdy, is that vindication for us and our point? See, I told you so, James. It's an I told you so moment. Not because I want to be right, but because we tried to tell you the truth and they shut us down and said we are liars and conspiracy theorists. And now where's the conspiracy? 48 of them assemble on Georgia that same night, that same few hours, commit violence, destroy property. How did that all occur without a conspiracy behind it? What is a conspiracy, James?
You would imagine a conspiracy has something to do. Now, the way they see it is, if you have any sort of alternative belief on any issue, that you're a conspiracy theorist, obviously, unless you just go around with the part and parcel narrative that the media has given you. But I would say a conspiracy involves, obviously, a group of people planning to do something at a certain time. I mean, you were conspiring with one another to take a certain action sort of behind the scenes and in a clandestine type of way. I mean, we could look up the official definition, but surely you've got this
matter.
Many
it's
people.
Obvious as all get out. 48 from out of state come together at that same time, same place, same motive, same operandus, act in concert. I mean, come on.
Yeah, absolutely right. And so, and again, I mean, they have now made conspiracy what constitutes a conspiracy to have the flimsiest of pretext. So if this doesn't rise to meet that, we'll just see. I mean, again, whether or not you can find justice in the courts is anybody's guess. In most cases, you can't. But the fact that this is still something that's going to proceed, and again, I'll say it for a second time, this is a horrible organization, criminally corrupt, and not for even this reason, but for many reasons that have been well documented over the years. But we'll give them the courtesy that they wouldn't give us. Let's just let justice be done here. But it'll be interesting to see. That was actually one of their reasons, one of their defenses for this guy was that, you know, he was wearing, you know, green clothing and he was from Georgia, so therefore he couldn't have possibly been actually engaged in the committing of a crime. He was one of the few that was from Georgia, and I think that's a key point.
All right. Elon Musk now is threatening to sue the Anti-Defamation League. He says they targeted his advertisers, and the advertising is down, and they basically destroyed Twitter. So Elon Musk threatens to sue Anti-Defamation League, ADL, over lost, quote, X/Twitter revenue, James.
This is really big. I think we're going to be talking about this story at great length, a really deep dive on TPC this Saturday night. I think that this is in some ways one of the biggest breakthroughs in decades.
It's huge.
Because
there's no question about it.
The ADL is sort of like the professional league to the SPLC's farm league. I mean, they both do the sort of the same kind of nefarious work. If you think for yourselves, if you have any sort of difference of opinion from the tenets of wokeism, then they're going to come down on you. They're going to extort you. I mean, it really is an extortion type of racket with regards to what they've done to Twitter.
That's right.
You know, they certainly try to break anybody and shut them up with all of these attacks. I mean, I think, Sam, I got to say this before we get onto the ADL thing. You're a hard guy sometimes because you're so busy. You're a hard guy sometimes to get in touch with. Now, you and I talk every week, email, text, phone, on the radio. But, I mean, you are a very busy guy.
I got my hands full. There's no question. question about
it. But I think now, if I ever have to wait. You know, if you don't answer the phone on the first ring, I just go to the SBLC website to see what you're up to, because it looks like everything they everything they're writing about now is about the CSPOA. Found
and
out
they're writing, the more they write about me, the more clownish it appears too. By the way,
and I did
clown stuff. It's crazy.
I did a search for my own name on the SBLC after they had written some piece earlier this year. 79 articles since we first went on the air. 79.
On James Edwards?
Well, at least if it wasn't just solely on me or TPC, we were certainly included in the article.
Yeah, sure.
And so featured, I guess you could say. But anyway.
And you know what? Their latest tactic about me is this. They attack everything I do that I'm part of, but they leave my name out, James.
Well, sometimes.
They've learned to do that because they know that what will happen is Sam Bushman will harass them and get on the phone for hours. I shouldn't say harass them. I will engage them for hours about any topic, and they've just got to where they cannot deal with the truth on that, you know, very long. Because I will call them and talk to them and say, listen, you've got this wrong, and I'll email their editors and I'll, hey, man, this isn't right. So they've learned to try to attack me but leave my name out. So what they'll do is they'll talk about right-wing extremist radio, and they'll mention James, and they'll mention, you know, Ammon Bundy, and they'll mention Richard Mack, and they'll mention all my friends, but they won't mention a word about me, which, you know, is interesting indeed. But it shows that they just cannot take the heat. I'm challenging anybody at the Southern Poverty Law Center. If they want to lie in their articles, they say, Sam's just interesting behind the scenes. He meanders for hours about unrelated topics. And no, I answer their questions that are so attack-derived that it seems unrelated, but it's really related because of the way they string their agenda together. I would like to challenge these people to an open debate at the greatest coliseums in the country, and let's have a debate with these clowns, and let's talk about who's who. Let's talk about where our money comes from, because they love to focus on Sam won't reveal where his money comes from, and Sam this and that. All right, come on, let's go ahead and reveal where our money comes from. I'll do it, and you do it, okay?
What
money?
Let's
talk about where the real money comes from. Oh, well, I can show my $10,000, $15,000 that, you know,
come in
to support the network and stuff like that easily.
Yeah, I mean, comparatively, and we're thankful for all of that. I mean, obviously, it absolutely takes money, and it takes a considerable amount of money to keep the operation running here for both of our shows and the network at large.
And I don't mean to make ours not important, but they're talking billions in their situation.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the SBL, this is what I was saying. If the SBLC is sort of like the Farm League, the ADL is the pros, but the SBLC alone has hundreds of millions of dollars that they've raised, but the ADL is really the one that has
and
been
you
the
can
power
total,
broker.
Hold on. You can total every asset Sam Bushman has personally. You can total everything else that Sam has, every dollar that comes into the network, every dollar that Sam works his day job for, every dollar that his wife works her day job for, and you're not going to get into even, I mean, you might get $1 million if you look at everything.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Because my
exactly.
house, look, I bought my house for $150,000, but now they say it's worth $500,000, okay? So that's an example of my point. It looks wealthy, but it's not. In the reality, though, hey, I'm not even worth $1 million, people, in the end of the day. Okay, so it's peanuts
that's
in comparison, and I'm ready to drag that out in Coliseum after Coliseum after Coliseum. Let's just go ahead and get the truth. Who gets paid what? How much is Sam's salary, right? How much is the guy that wants to go debate me's salary, okay? And they can't bring on some lackey that just, you know, runs the switchboard or something else. You got to find somebody like, okay, I'm the CEO of CSPOA. I'm the owner and founder and CEO of Liberty News Radio. All right, so you got to bring on their relative equivalent if we're going to discuss it, because that's what we're talking about. Okay, I'm not the chief bottle washer. Well, sometimes I really am. All I'm telling you is this is the discussion. Hey, can you skip the break? This is too important. All right, anyway, but how many articles have they written on me even with leaving my name out, James? Do you have any idea on that? I'd be interested.
I'd have to check CSPOA and Richard Mack, but you're going to be included in that, if not directly, at least tangentially, because obviously
yeah, if you do Sam Bushman, CSPOA, and Richard concerned. Mack, you'll get most of it.
I'd have to actually go. I'll get that for you, but nevertheless, you can imagine it's hell of a lot. I mean, I'm just saying it's the top thing. It's the top. I'm just here. Two out of the first three currently posted deals with CSPOA and you and Mac. So I see constitutional sheriffs advertised with Lamar billboards. I guess that's supposed to be some sort of a scandal. I see.
Yeah, so constitutional here's what happened. Hold on. What happened. We advertised with billboards. They don't bring up my name. They don't really bring up much in that. they bring up, oh my gosh, we got some money from some folks in those areas that wanted to fund billboards, and we decided that it was okay to partner with them, and we did, and we promoted all kinds of messages via the billboards that related to constitutional sheriffs and the defense of our God-given unalienable rights and all this stuff, and now they're attacking us going, where did the money come from for the billboards?
Yeah, I mean, a billboard.
The answer is some patrons supported it. That's where the money came from.
Well, you're two out of the first three on their website, just as you said right now. So that's I don't even want to give the URL to the hate site here.
Hold on. Two out of the first three stories on there have to do with us right now?
The first, well, they've got – here's the. I'll give you the top three. Number one right now is Orthodox priest supports Russian government. We actually know this guy. This is Charles Balsman. I know this guy. He's a good anyway, and then that's number one. And the second one is constitutional sheriffs advertised with Lamar billboards. You know, obviously that's big news. And then
and by the
third
way,
one
they
down,
say that's big news, but this happened years ago, just so you know.
Constitutional Sheriff Mac sent Mark Lamb video, and that's another one. So,
all right, now let me give a 30-second on the Mark Lamb video. This is a private matter that the Southern Poverty Law Center needs to be very careful about. They could get sued big time. This is a private matter that doesn't even relate to Richard Mack personally. Yes, Richard sent the video because there's criminal activity happening that Richard wanted the sheriff to know about. Anyway, it's a long, complicated story, but this is where, again, these people are out of control, and they're literally millions of dollars fuels their hate-filled agenda against everybody. They're the ones that run the hate groups site, tracking all hate groups. All of us are going, well, we don't hate them. We hope they're innocent until proven guilty and they get that fair treatment too. And, you know, this kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, and maybe we should have a little bit more of their mentality and just say stick it to them, because, I mean, if truly between the organizations that they attack and the organizations that they represent, there is one side that doesn't have any place in a decent society, and it's their side. And people are really beginning to get it. I mean, I have been talking about this exhaustively for the last 2 or 3 years now, at least, about how the trends are picking up. They're starting to come into – the winds are starting to blow in our direction now. But there was one frontier that up until I think this week had really not been penetrated before. And it was taking on, I mean, the SPLC had started to really be, I mean, you know, for their own principles, their own founders, some of their leading figures from the founding of the organization up until very recent years, they were catching charges of racism and misogyny and sexism from their own coworkers. So, I mean, again, you can take all of that with a grain of salt, but most of the time when I hear stuff like that, I just dismiss it because that's just, those things are just hurled around so flippantly these days. But when you have your own employees at a place like the SPLC saying the top bosses were doing all of the things to them that they're supposed to be advocating against, the SPLC has certainly had a deteriorating reputation for a long time. But the ADL had sort of
so
been able
stop
to
you there. The Southern Poverty Law Center has been around literally for a couple of decades, but they haven't been around that long. The ADL is the mother of them all. I remember back in the 80s when I was like, you know, high school kind of age and stuff like that, or a little bit after that range, where I remember at the time it was called Spotlight Magazine. And Spotlight would focus on how evil and abusive and hostile and hate-filled the ADL was, even back then. They're the mother of all this. Now, the Spotlight Magazine has now turned into, what's it called, James?
The American Free Press.
The American Free Press. That's the same group as the Spotlight was back in the day. I like the Spotlight name better personally. But American Free Press, good friends of ours, good people. In fact, James, you're an author, a columnist for them currently, right?
I have actually wanted to bring that up the last few times we come on, when you always give me such a wonderful introduction, talk radio show host, author, et cetera. But yes, as of this summer, we can add American Free Press columnist. They'd asked me for a long time to do it, and I'd had my hands... Well, I still do. I mean, like, the cup runneth over all the time. But once I lost Twitter, when I got banned from Twitter, I decided that, okay, you know, you're going to take one outlet. This is sort of the way I respond to things. When I was banned from Amazon, and Amazon, we were using Amazon to get copies of Racism Schmacism, which after 13 years, you know, it's not like it's selling a ton of copies, but, you know, we always keep some in stock. You move a few units every month anyway. And they shut down my Amazon account, which took away my ability to produce Racism Spacism. So that's what actually led me to write the opening chapter of this new book, which was, you know, published elsewhere. And that's had a really good reception. Then when I lost Twitter, I called them back and I said, hey, if y'all still want me to do this, I'd be happy to do it. And it's sort of like the Epoch Times in a way. It's a national print newspaper. It's actually got subscribers all over the world, but it's a national print newspaper, comes out twice a month, biweekly, and it tackles things from a populist perspective. And it's just been a hand in glove type of fit. And that's actually going to be, this is my next column that's going to be coming out in the next paper, is going to be about the situation trending on Twitter, or X as they call it now, Elon Musk versus the ADL. And that brings us back full circle. I think this is one of the most tremendous breakthroughs in my life, and Keith Alexander and I are going to be talking about it on TPC this weekend at great length. But I just, a lot of people are beginning to see that, hey, these organizations, are they really fighting hate, or are they perpetuating it? Are they, Elon Musk said this, I couldn't believe it. This was just one of, one of the most incredible statements I've heard. This is a guy, the richest man in the world, the guy who oversees the most popular social media platform. And he writes this: the ADL, because they are so aggressive in their demands to ban people for even minor infractions, are ironically the biggest generators of anti-Semitism on this platform. I think that's key. And the fact that people are beginning to realize that now, you got the richest man in the world saying this, over the course of the last week, this has absolutely blown up. It is probably the biggest trending thing on the internet in the last week, and it is not good for the ADL.
It is strange to see what's happening with this, James. It's amazing how, you know what, on one hand, we think that they're winning on every turn. But you know what? God seems to provide some modicum of justice, right?
Well, God's will be done, and that's the thing. you just got to keep plugging around and leave it in his good hands. But the guy who actually started all of this, the hashtag ban the ADL, which was trending over the course of the last week, his name is Keith Woods. And Keith Woods is a YouTuber from Ireland. And I actually had the opportunity to share the stage with Keith Woods two or three weeks ago. We were speaking together in an event near Nashville, Tennessee. And he and I were both speakers at this event. And he started this hashtag, ban the ADL. He tagged Elon Musk in it. Elon Musk doubled down. And now Elon Musk, I think, is responding in some way to just about everything Keith Woods is tweeting on the topic. And it has just taken on an entire life of its own. This hashtag, ban the ADL, has, at last count, and this was several days ago now, over 100,000 different posts. Not 100,000 likes or 100,000 retweets, 100,000 hundreds of thousands of posts now, let me put it that way. So you're talking about tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions of people have seen this. And they're doubling down. Major conservative influencers who would have run from any sort of condemnation from the ADL or the SPLC 5 years ago, 10 years ago, certainly any time beyond that, for sure. They're all saying now, we don't want hateful organizations controlling the public square any longer. And Elon Musk is really changed things by amplifying this. It's giving a lot of people courage, a lot of conservative folks that would have thrown us under the bus, Sam, not too long ago. Now they're speaking our tune. And I've always said that. I have said that my whole life, my whole career. I said, as soon as it becomes easy to do it, people are going to start doing it, and change will happen very quickly. And I think we're beginning to see the beginning of that.
You're right about that, sir, but I will say this, and this is just my opinion. I know others are, you know, so much more bullish than I am about this. I'm always a very cautious soul, and I've been around the news forever, all right? And I want people to understand this very clearly. I hope Elon Musk is genuine and for our cause and really willing to get to the bottom of this, right? But I don't know that I believe it, and I don't mean to be negative. I don't mean to be a downer on everybody's parade, but look, this guy's one of the richest men in the world. This guy's the guy that basically said, we're going to get to the bottom of all this stuff about the government in bed with Twitter. He released some stuff, and then I read that he went to the White House and hung out with Kevin, what's his face, the Speaker of the House, and he hung out with whatever that Democrat guy, Jeffries, all right? So he's hanging out with Jeffries and okay. And Elon went to the White House and he said, hey, I need direction on how to handle all this stuff. And I look at that and I go, you're exposing these thugs on one hand, but on the other hand, you're going to them for guidance to how to handle this. And when I saw that, I just thought, you know what? And I hope he's doing what's right. And I pray that he is. And I get that we're getting more pay dirt with him doing this than not. I understand. But it reminds me a lot of the court cases that you see. Oftentimes the courts will take on something and we think, oh, this is incredible. The court's taking it on. But in the long run, what it really means is they leak about 10% of whatever really matters so that the American people get incensed. But they never leak enough to put people in prison. And it ends up being a massive cover-up for the truth on a lot of this stuff. And I'm afraid that Elon Musk might be in that kind of situation. I pray that I'm wrong. And I don't mean negative. But I've watched this stuff for way too long, and I'm a little bit jaded, James. And my experience says be very careful because this guy probably isn't your friend. It reminds me a lot of what Donald Trump did. Hey, we're going to lock up Hillary. We're going to do all these things, and none of it happened. Now the only person possibly getting locked up is Donald himself, right? So be very careful, folks, when you get all bullish on this stuff. Likely it will be turned against us in some way. Likely this attorney, Mr. Thomas Juergens, will slip through the cracks and not be in prison for a long time. Just write it down and remember who's warning you. That's all I can say.
Well, if you look back on the way things have gone for people like us going back the last 75 years at least, you're certainly not taking much of a risk to say it's probably not going to work out in our favor. However, fool me once, shame on me, twice, shame on you, fool me a million times, you know what's going on here. But at the same time, sometimes good news can just be that, good news. I think, again, the whole Trump thing was he inadvertently caused all of this noticing. He inadvertently caused the media's overreaction to him and all of that. We've talked about this countless times. It caused so many good trends and things to be happening within the Republican base. And with Elon Musk, I mean, obviously he's a mixed bag. I think he probably genuinely is anti-woke to an extent. I think a lot of that probably doesn't jive with his personal
philosophy.
Well, if
that's true, go ahead and unlock James Edwards' account, would you please, Elon?
Well, see, that's another thing. Again, he is a mixed bag. I mean, nobody can deny that. I was banned not for the years I existed before he took over, but only after he took over. And after, you know, free speech, I'm a free speech absolutist. If you're not advocating breaking a law or committing a crime, then you're going to have a home
James
here.
James is
you know,
doing
that
none of those
now,
things, right?
Well, but we got to understand, I don't know if Elon Musk has ever even heard my name or knows that I was banned or if somebody, some rogue,
let me just,
you know.
Let me just be very blunt with James Edwards. If you think that Elon Musk doesn't know who Sam Bushman and James Edwards are, you're under a rock, buddy.
Well, I'll tell you this.
Clinton calls you out by name, my friend.
You're right about all of that.
The idea
I would
that
say
Donald Trump Jr. was on our program and said, oh my gosh, that interview is going to haunt him for the rest of his life. Okay, now you've got two direct references by some of the top people in the country, and Elon doesn't know who we are. If so, he's living under a rock.
I believe, if I had to guess, he probably does. I can't say for sure that he does, but I do know this. The guy he's responding to, Keith Woods, who was just a speaker with me at a conference a few days ago, Woods specifically appealed to Elon Musk in a post that Musk commented on, saying, you know, unban these accounts.
Well, we assume
they did
Musk commented on. It might be a Twitter handle or
that's right.
Like
yeah,
Biden's
that's again.
Got. We hear Biden tweets every day, and Biden doesn't tweet at all. He doesn't even probably
that's
know what
true.
Twitter is.
That's true. That's true.
But your point's well taken that, look, these guys should know, and if they don't, it's, you know, they're the ones under a rock. The blogosphere and the reality knows. There's no doubt about that.
I think
you
he probably
does, just
but
the
I can't say for
Law
sure.
Center.
You know, you don't want to take for granted that the richest person in the world, you know, knows what's you know, knows who everybody is. But maybe he does. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he does. I just
well,
I can't
everybody,
say for
we're
sure.
not everybody, though. Listen, I'm not well, trying to say we're rock stars, but we're not everybody.
No,
either.
No.
When Hillary right. Clinton attacks you personally.
Well, we've made when, a lot of news.
When Donald Trump Jr. literally says, oh, my gosh, this interview is going to haunt me for the rest of my life. These aren't idle statements, James. These aren't like, oh, these guys are nobodies. It's not like, who the heck's Joe the Plumber? What's his name again? Okay. It's not like that, right?
He died.
But they
actually
even decided
a few days
ago, Joe the Plumber was a celebrity, so they even told you when he died. You know,
yeah, that's right. That's well. I mean, now listen.
Course,
you look at the amount of news we've made. We've made more news than about 99%
of nobody
the,
knows who
the
Sam
public.
And James are. Right? We're just so tiny we don't make a difference.
Let's talk about if we can. I want to talk about his threat to sue the ADL maybe in the
We're
going to
do
in,
it in seconds, ladies and gentlemen. I got a whole lot of hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use straight ahead. Hour one of the can, hour two coming straight up. By the way, just so you know, James Edwards was interviewed by the American Free Press in November 2022. You can check it out at thepoliticalcesspool.org, okay? All right, thanks for being alongside with the ride. Hour one of the can, two coming up. God save the Republic of the United States of America.